The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is an attack warning. Repeat, this is an attack warning.
Now everybody, have you heard? If you're in the game, well then the stroke's the word. Don't take no rhythm, don't take no style. Got a thirst for killing.
Hey, what's going on, Table Breakers? Before we get started today, today's episode is brought to you by Joey's Pizza in Depew. Cheesiest pizza in Buffalo, so make sure you get an order in before the game or whatever.
They're doing pre-orders for tomorrow night, so
yeah.
If you're in the Depew area and you're not getting Joey's Pizza, there might be something wrong with you, honestly.
Yeah, or even if it's not a game day and you're just a lazy fuck, you don't feel like cooking, just give them a call. All right, now that that's out of the fucking way.
Yeah.
All right, so the Bills fucking suck.
The sky is falling, right? The sky is fucking falling.
And you know what? Honestly, I'm tired of being positive.
Yeah.
Fuck everything. I don't even care.
No, I think is we're going to thrive tonight.
Yeah.
We're going to thrive.
I don't even know where to start. I came into this blind. I just a bull seeing red.
Yeah. It's complicated.
Yeah.
Right. It's not this easy ride anymore. You know, realistically, you probably can lose three more games total.
Yeah, so you're talking 8-3 over 11 weeks.
Yeah.
You have to be.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. And that was now it's the hard part of the schedule. You know, the Bengals, the Eagles, the Chiefs, you know, Tampa tomorrow is not really a slouch game.
No.
So
it's the best quarterback they played in 3 weeks.
Yeah, we got some reason to be worried, I think, here. There's some cause for concern, finally, with the Bills. You know, we're the forever optimists, but I think, I don't know, man. I don't know.
All right. So, first offensive play of the game against New England is an interception. It's not a tipped ball. It's not weird. It's a flat-out interception, right?
Yeah.
So did that tell you right then and there is going to be one of those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. The problem, you know, and I've seen a lot of stuff, you know, on Twitter, social media this week too about, you know, what is the problem? Is it Dorsey? Is it McDermott? Is it Josh? I think the major problem here is McDermott.
I agree.
And I've been a pretty big advocate for McDermott. You know, he's got 72, 73 wins, whatever it is. So he's been prepared for the most part of his coaching career. But at the end of the day, stuff that's happening now is kind of showing light on things that might have happened in the transpired in the past. It's becoming more and more obvious, I think, on the rift between Daboll and McDermott. Yep. I think Daboll, you know, was using Josh like how Josh wanted to be used. You know, give me a hit, get me into the game, let me do my thing.
Yeah.
Creating the offense around that rare talent that Josh Allen is. And where you got the other side of that coin where McDermott's probably, now it seems like he's probably like, protect my investment, you know, be smart, all this stuff. And, you know, it is what it is, right? Like, now it's showing that McDermott has a little bit more control here than we originally thought. And it looks like Dorsey's just a yes man.
Yep.
You
completely
know,
agree.
Making the game plan around, you know, Josh Allen and protecting him and keeping him in the pocket and safe. But you know, it's coming to a head pretty quick. This week it could burst. I mean, they lose to Tampa at home on primetime.
In a short week.
I mean, I would hate to be the guy who has to answer those questions on, you know, Friday morning. Because my thing is I feel like if they lose this week, you know, I'm guessing, it's pure speculation, but I would guess that Dorsey's could potentially be relieved of his duties.
I mean,
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
even if he is, though, it's like, who is he getting replaced with? And if Sean McDermott's hiring or promoting them, anything going to change?
Exactly. What I would really like to see happen is Josh be like, fuck it. You gonna bench me?
Yeah. Go ahead. Actually, go ahead.
You gonna find me? Okay. I'm calling my own plays. I know how, because we've discussed this off camera, off air, that there's no doubt in my mind that Josh Allen's calling the 2-minute drill.
Yes, because it's completely
different.
Well, not only it's I don't know how you put the two together where, someone just doesn't know how to play football for the first 15 minutes of a game, half hour of a game, 45 minutes of a game, and then goes 11 for 11, however many hundreds of yards, touchdowns, and it flows like a work of art.
Yeah.
I don't understand you. And it happens within the same game every game.
Yes. So I feel like that's where Josh is calling the plays. I mean, I think you pointed out to me, did you point out the Cook move, the Cook play? Or somebody else, that somebody was talking to me about the touchdown to Cook. He couldn't hear it.
Oh, yeah.
And he basically told Cook probably to go fucking run a straight line and catch the ball. And that's probably wasn't the play, if I were to guess.
Yeah.
That wasn't
the play. And the touchdown of Quentin Morris against the Giants. No way that was the play.
No, because there was no way they would call a triple coverage throw to a tight end that hasn't caught the ball here.
Yeah.
That's Josh trusting his player to make a play, and trusting his arm. That's that art we talked about last week, arm arrogance, right? He thinks he can make it in those windows, and he 9 times out of 10 he does.
I just would like to know the verbiage that is being relayed to him. Like, are they saying if you run, we'll fucking end you? Like, what is it about this running that they've completely convinced him to not do it? Like, at the end of the day, they might say, hey, we advise you not to. He could still do it.
Yeah, and how many times I feel like we talked every episode so far this year that when he runs, he hesitates and almost backtracks. Like, he doesn't want to run. And then he
heaves an interception.
But he heaves an interception, or he gets a sack, or whatever. Bad mistake, whatever. Whatever happens is not his instinct.
Yeah,
he's thinking too much. You heard him say it yesterday at his press conference that he's got to stop thinking too much. Let him react. We've talked about that before on this show. That Josh Allen reacting is the best Josh Allen.
Yeah,
he needs to do what his body is.
It's literally animal instincts.
Yeah, and there's nobody better in the NFL when they're doing it. No one can do it like he can.
No, it's virtually impossible to stop too. No,
and it, as much as we say Mahomes is better, which he is.
Yep.
But there's something different when Josh plays like that primal animal. Like, it's just different.
Yeah.
You can feel it. You feel it when you're watching the game on television or in the stadium. You can feel the energy.
No,
team plays differently.
You have that feeling. It gives off that vibe. Absolutely nothing is going to stop this.
Yes.
And the other team feels it too.
Yes. Yeah. I know I've seen, we put out a tweet this week that went pretty viral.
Yep. You're doing so. You want to share with the crowd?
Yeah, I mean, I put out a tweet on the other night after the game and thinking about stuff, and I missed Josh Allen screaming on the sidelines, and people were saying he did scream and blah, the defense let him down. I get that, and it wasn't really about the screaming rah rah. It was the passion,
right?
You look at him on the sidelines now, and he's sitting there. He looks deflated,
miserable.
He looks depressed. And then I got there's the other side of the comments on that where he's all Hollywood now. Bullshit. Travis Kelce's dating the biggest female on the entire fucking planet and is perfectly fine with
balling.
It. And he's playing better than he's ever played in his career. His stats are actually up.
Yeah.
So the bullshit on the
Josh's
female.
Josh's relationship isn't even public.
How many pictures have they seen in public? Like 6 total? I mean.
Yeah. And they're all kind of hidden things.
He's a private guy. That's not affecting how this dude plays football. And if you think that, you're an absolute fucking moron.
Yeah.
And you probably should stop listening and following.
If anything, if we're even going to get on that subject, his last relationship probably had more negative impact than this one.
Yes, 100%. We are not the gossip queens here.
Yeah.
But, like, well, you might be.
No, I don't watch The Bachelor. I don't watch any of that
no,
shit.
No, but there's no there's no part of me that believes that's the reason why he's not. He's lost the passion because he's running a vanilla offense.
Yeah.
In a system I don't know if he completely believes in. He can say the right things and, you know, call out fans for being armchair quarterbacks and, you know, all pro, whatever play caller, whatever he said. That's fine. That doesn't even piss me off. I don't care. I want my quarterback to be annoyed. He should be annoyed. They're not playing good football. But he is not. It's not that he doesn't have the passion. It's not he's at the end of the game. He's literally, I think, bored of being this fucking pocket pony now.
Well, I mean, when you're pretending to be something you're not, it can be exhausting. And you can't act like, I don't think you can physically give it your all. And I want to go back to a word you just said, believe. I don't think he nor anyone on that offense actually believes in it.
No, and I think that there's no way there's a rift between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. That rift is between Diggs and Dorsey.
Yeah.
That's why Dorsey's almost overcompensating by utilizing Diggs too much. Because now the offense runs through Diggs instead of running through Josh Allen.
Yeah.
So he's overcompensating to repair that relationship, but he's ruining the relationship
because he's with his quarterback. Because he's the only one skilled enough to overcome a bad play call or a bad scheme.
Which is clearly obvious.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to shit on Gabe Davis. And, I don't think Gabe Davis is a bad number two.
That's fair.
I don't think he is.
I've heard a lot of...
There's a lot of shit on him.
Yeah.
A lot of shit.
And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve any of it.
But, you know, everyone's like, well, he had one catch for 6 yards against blah, blah, blah. Okay. He wasn't called upon. Yeah. And that's Dorsey. That's not Josh. Because when Josh decides to use Gabe Davis is effective.
I mean, he was the primary recipient of the best game of Josh Allen's career.
Yeah. And that's not a fluke. You know, Blake Bortles throwing 35 touchdowns. That was a fluke. But Gabe Davis can ball.
Don't hate on the boat, man.
Yeah, I know. I like the boat. You know, I do.
I know.
But Gabe Davis isn't shit. I hate the slander that he gets because he's not.
And he's in a contract year, so he's probably. You know, he's not loving this either.
No, he's probably not loving the production. He's not loving the negative attention. And yeah, now even if you potentially could trade him, I've heard, you know, trading him in a pick for Jerry Jeudy or whatever.
I don't really see that.
But is that better? Jerry Judy's got, it seems like, some kind of attitude problem. So, like, does it get better?
Not only that, but, like, you're talking, you want to go on a run and then mid-season, Jerry Jeudy, who... I mean, his skill set and attitude, like you just said, is questionable. Has to learn a brand new system that doesn't even work, apparently.
Yeah.
So, and you're just renting him because he's in a contract year too.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if the grass is greener outside of Gabe Davis. I feel like this is a very Buffalo fan base thing to do.
Yeah. We
did it with Tremaine Edmonds, and we got extremely lucky that Terrell Bernard is pretty good.
Yeah.
Extremely lucky because we didn't see that.
No.
We didn't think he was going to suck, but we didn't see him not missing a beat.
Right.
So to speak.
I mean, now it's a little irrelevant because of what happened in Milano.
Yeah.
I mean, the defense is just shifting gears real quick. They're just missing the personnel.
Yeah.
Like that's all that is.
And they honestly shouldn't be put in positions to have to win us games like they did against New England.
Right.
Like, I'm not mad at them for letting them score in that final minute. The defense isn't skilled enough to stop that kind of offense.
But at the same time, if that offense is marching down the field, that's arguably the worst in the league.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's another one of those moments too where Josh leaves the field with a lead,
yeah,
and gets let down.
Yeah,
so
it's Vaughn's still clearly not right.
No, God, no, Vaughn is not ready. I'm mind boggled at that stuff going on. I think it's got to be because of injuries, they're just playing him just to play him. But he's not ready.
No.
There's no shot he's ready. He was limping. You said he
was
limping.
Do you think he's shot?
No.
No.
No. No.
I'm just asking. I'm just.
No, I don't think so. No. He's still, I mean, half the reason he's as good as he is because of the moves he's got, not because of the speed necessarily. He's lost a step speed-wise, I'm sure. He's 30-something, so.
34?
Yeah. You know, he's still, I think, a premier pass rusher.
Yeah.
You know, he's not Myles Garrett, but not.
Well, like, no one is.
So, like, can he be effective? Absolutely. He was. Look at him last year before he got hurt. He's a difference maker.
Yeah.
I think when he's 100%, he will definitely be a difference maker. But they haven't really, you know, luckily they really shouldn't had to have needed him right now. They should have been able to handle these last couple of games without even having him or with him playing a limited snap count.
Yeah.
I don't think him not playing enough isn't the reason these guys are winning or losing right now.
I mean, the scary part is the D-line is the strength of this defense, and if like, and I know Oliver was even out too, so the middle was just wide open for running lanes. But
yeah,
if the line can't put pressure, it's a long day for the defense because that is their strong suit.
Yeah, they have to put pressure on. I mean, that's their we talked about that in preseason that they were going to ride or die by that line putting pressure, yeah,
especially now without Trey and then Milano. And the, I mean, Milano was the biggest loss you could have.
Yeah, I mean, Dorian Williams will, I think, at some point, not be Matt Milano. I'm not saying right. that at all. But he's very similar in the style he plays and how he plays the game. I think he's a really good 2B to Matt Milano, or like 2A.
I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, I think he's supposed to be kind of like the mold that Milano is, and they drafted him to be that guy. I think the more snaps he gets, the more he sees, I think he's going to get better as the season goes. He's not going to be all pro. Not
again. No.
I mean, no, don't crucify
you,
I mean,
you can't.
Not saying that.
I mean, you can't have that kind of expectation. You
no, but
can't.
I think he can be a really good football player and a difference maker on the team. I think he'll make some big plays as he gets more comfortable in the defense. I think he looks good. He reads things pretty well. Pass coverage is suspect, but I think that's something that he'll progress. I am excited they signed Anaku, right?
Yeah.
Eli? Yeah. I would play him right next to Ed Oliver this week. But Jordan Phillips at this point.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going on with Shaq Lawson. But, yeah, the defense is what it is. We can sit here all day and pick apart who's playing what and whatever. And then, you know, the touchdown, you know, Taron Johnson, they had their biggest body against our smallest. They got the matchup they wanted.
Yep.
There's nothing you could do to stop that. That was just – that they got their matchup.
Well, also, I mean, you let him inside.
Yeah.
Like –
It is what it is. And that's McDermott. I mean, that's McDermott. That's his play call. I mean, he got mismatched there and fucked it. I mean, I'm exhausted already. We're 17 minutes in. I'm exhausted.
You pointed this out to me, but Josh grabs his shoulder.
Yes.
A couple times.
Yes.
Or
yes,
one
yes.
time in particular.
One time in particular. He was. It was a third down, second down. He ran. No one really hit him. He kind of dove forward, got touched, so they could, you know, get him down.
Yeah.
And as he's rolling onto his back, I see him go like this. So there wasn't too much brought about it. I saw a couple tweets that showed the video highlight. That's how I even really kind of knew about it. But that may be cause for concern. Wasn't touched. Dove forward. No contact.
Well, it's the elbow from last year all over again.
Is it going to be a nagging shoulder thing? And where did that injury happen?
In the pocket.
In the motherfucking pocket. Because that's where quarterbacks get hurt. Especially quarterbacks that are built like linebackers.
Yep.
Let Josh Allen run. Let him hurdle. Let him stiff arm. Let him do what Josh Allen does.
It's really not that hard because in the pocket, I mean, yeah, there's roughing the passers that, you know, protect him, at least in the sense of, oh, they can still get a first down. But if they still want to hit him, they will. So, like, you can be rougher in the pocket when someone's standing still and you have a giant standing target that's just waiting for you. If he's moving as fast as he moves, as big as he is, you can't get as clean and as strong of a hit on someone like that. I mean, you can eventually, like, get him on the ground, but it's like you're not going to do much impact on his body.
No, he's not. I mean, I think about it this way. Wide receivers take bigger hits and they're smaller and every almost aspect than Josh Allen.
Running back throw off the trenches.
And they get hit. So what is the problem with our 6'6", 240 quarterback getting hit? I understand $258 million. You paid them a lot of money. But, again, win the fucking whole thing. And who cares?
You realize if he gets in the secondary, like a corner's not injuring him.
No.
You might push him out of bounds.
Yeah. Or get a late hit from a safety. I mean, and then you get another 15 yards added onto it, and it's great, whatever. But I think it's stupid. We're totally in this position. This team is respected like it is, and he's on the cover of Madden. That scared the shit out of me. He's on the cover of Madden. He's like the poster boy for the NFL, right? He got a lot of exposure this offseason. Again, that has nothing to do with why he's playing like shit. That's not.
No.
Who cares? You ignore that shit. He doesn't even. But you're all these things. And you're in all these positions because of Josh fucking Allen. So he got $258 million because he played like Josh Allen. Now you're going to not let him play like Josh Allen. And you're going to wonder why your $258 million investment isn't panning out. It's not that he's not regressing.
I want to remind, whether it's the organization or fans, you know how rare a top five franchise quarterback is?
Extremely.
You know how many franchises would sell literally everything inside the building to have one?
Yeah. The Cleveland Browns would have drafted Josh Allen number one if they could redo it. I mean, that's the reality.
That is facts. Where was I going? Do you not remember what it was like for 20 years of not having this caliber of a quarterback and not making the playoffs and not making the playoffs and not making the playoffs?
Yeah.
And not having primetime games and not being relevant?
I remember those.
It wasn't that long ago. And I know a lot of you just became fans once Josh Allen became a Bill, and that's fine, even if you won't admit it. But
when he became a Bill, when he started becoming a successful Bill.
So my point is, when you have this type of talent and it's right in front of you and you see what it is and what it's not, let it be what it is. Yeah. And you live and die by that and you're okay with it.
Yeah. I fucking wish we had Dable.
I mean, would you rather lose a game in where it's a shootout and okay, he has an extra pick or whatever, but you're losing 42-39 or whatever it is, but you know you put it all out there and it was the absolute best you could have played? Or would you rather lose a game knowing, okay, he didn't get hurt, and we lost 24-14, but it's okay because no one got hurt and we did what we were supposed to do?
No, I want that divisional round game between the Chiefs every game. I want that Josh Allen.
And we thought we were going to get that going forward from that moment on.
Yeah.
We didn't think
think everyone in the NFL thought that was who we were going to get.
Yeah, because that's why the Bills were the Super Bowl favorites going into the next year, because they're like, oh, if he can do this, so what are the odds that he's going to lose a game in 13 seconds again?
Like, is he even capable of losing a game after that? Yeah. It was like eye-opening to the entire league, the entire media. Everyone was like, holy
shit. And the season started, it carried over.
Well, remember the Super Bowl? They weren't even talking about Patrick Mahomes. They were talking about Josh Allen. At Super Bowl week, during the media, they were talking a lot about Josh Allen.
Well, because that Super Bowl, Mahomes wasn't even there because it was Cincinnati.
Oh, duh. That's right.
But that's okay. But I get what you're saying.
But yeah, it was more attention on Josh than Joe Burrow.
It was more, we have a clear-cut favorite for next year that didn't even make the AFC Championship.
Mm-hmm. It was a weird dynamic. It was like, that was where he rose to that superstar. Game put him on the map. That was the most watched game, I think.
The Rams game?
No. The second half of that Chiefs game, I think, was like the most watched half of football ever.
It's probably the best half of football ever.
Probably won't. Best 3 minutes of football.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, really. And there was like a feeling like in March and April during like the draft and free agency, it's like Bills are prohibited favorites, and it's because of what they saw him do in that game. And there's no other way around that.
Yeah, there was no doubt in my mind that if Josh Allen played like that, we were winning most games.
And now here we are having this conversation of what happened to Josh Allen. He didn't forget how to do that.
No.
He doesn't not care because he has money now.
You're an absolute idiot if you believe that. You are literally a fucking moron.
The man's never even been to the Super Bowl. You think he just stopped caring?
The dude, he has shown us multiple times in his short career so far that he's willing to lay it all out on the line to make this team win football games. So to question his ability and his want or desire is fucking outrageous.
Also,
it's almost disrespectful.
It is. Also, go get someone else who can do it better. Come on, find him.
Yeah, go get Russell.
Come on. Oh, yeah.
Mr. Unlimited.
Lord have mercy.
But, like, it doesn't get – we're – when Josh Allen's gone, when he's done, when he hangs up the cleats for the final time.
And you have another 10.
It's going to be another 10 fucking years at least. This guy is he's a Hall of Fame, once in a generation quarterback.
He's a Hall of Fame talent, and he's going to get his coaching is going to keep him out of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And he's already like third all time for touchdown total. Like
rushing touchdowns. Yeah.
He's third all time. And it's fucking absurd.
It's year six.
So, it's so frustrating because it's not, it's just, it shouldn't be like this. This is the first time we got to sit down and really like kind of be like, fuck, but it shouldn't be like this.
Look at the Eagles real quick. Would you say Jalen Hurts is, I mean, if you compare the two, like, I mean, Jalen's very good, but like,
yeah,
if Josh is a 9, Jalen's like what, a 7.5, 8?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, he's close, but he's not.
No, I'm like picking, I'm picking Josh over Jalen.
Right. But look what the Eagles do with an offensive head coach and a GM that just never stops making the team better.
Yeah.
Like,
bringing a 98-year-old Julio Jones.
Well, not only that, but like, look at the O-line play. I mean, the tush push or whatever, the Birdly shove, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Just the innovation and knowing your quarterback's strength and your offense's strengths and playing to that. And not, they did like that tush push like 4 times in a row on 4th and 1. Everyone knew they were going to do it. They knew they were going to do it. Like, they don't care because they know that's what they're good at and no one can stop it. They don't try to dress anything up what like it shouldn't be.
No, yeah. Their coach knows Sirianni. He knows what he has in Jalen Hurts. And he's completely okay with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we knew we had in Josh Allen, and Dable was completely okay with it.
Yeah.
And things have changed. You know, the writing really wasn't on that wall, for me at least, until I saw the handshake.
Yeah.
And I started to figure out.
Starting to unravel everything.
It started to connect the dots. Was that handshake meant more than was we originally had, you know, thought.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was a rift. Wasn't the original rumor there was a rift between Dable and Josh? Wasn't that the original when he got?
Which clearly is not the case.
Which is not the case. Clearly, look at the love affair they had leading up to the game, talking about each other, and then after the game, walking out of the stadium together. What head coach walks out with the opposing team's quarterback? I thought I'm
hugging Diggs.
Yeah, there's clearly that is an unraveling story that, you know, it shouldn't be necessary.
So, is it ego that just got to McDermott? Is it, like, what even, has he always been like this and no one knows?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, especially with the whole Leslie Frazier thing, makes me now think there's more ego going on than we ever knew was going on. But again, all that stuff's going to come to light when you're losing. When you're winning, no one's fucking talking about it.
Exactly.
You know, if there was a rift between Dable and McDermott, well, they were coaching there. You never knew it.
Right.
Because we were on fire. We were winning.
Well, yeah. And I mean,
so
the only way out was if McDermott had to hope Dable got another job, which he did, because can't fire him.
No.
Can't fire the best coordinator in the league.
No. And I wonder if it was an ego thing to like get, you know, let him go almost so he didn't take his job at some point.
Yeah.
Because now, you know,
there's a lot of support behind the get rid of McDermott and bring Dable in as head coach.
Which I don't even know if that's the answer.
No, but I think
I think getting Dable back in the organization somehow, some way helps.
I honestly think offensive head coaches are the only, I think defensive head coaches will eventually be a dying breed.
Yeah. Yeah, I think McDermott's a hell of a defensive coordinator and what he's doing with the injuries and the lack of talent almost now on the back end. Is pretty remarkable. We're not getting blown out. We're not letting up, you know, a lot of points. But yeah, there's got to be some kind of ego with McDermott. I think there's got to be something, you know, because Dorsey's a total fucking ass man with no spine, 100%. If he had a spine, Josh Allen be running.
And
Josh
how much is that? Do you think? I mean, what are the odds that there's chances that even Dorsey's calling these plays, like, and he's even cringing himself knowing he's just got no say so in the matter. And he's like, and maybe he does talk about it with Josh and he's like, I know, but he won't let me call this play. What are the odds of that? I'm just spitballing. I don't know.
I would love them to come out tomorrow against Tampa and run a lot of no huddle, a lot of hurry up, run a 2-minute drill the entire game, get Tampa reeling. They can't sub in, they can't sub out, whatever. And fucking light him up. Let Josh do what Josh does. What do you have to lose? Let him call the plays.
Yeah.
Even if it's for a quarter. Like, okay, we're gonna let the reins off for a quarter. What if they're up 21-0? You know what I mean? Like, what if?
Yeah.
And if it's I'm telling you right now that if tomorrow is like the last three games, this is gonna be like a 28-20 fucking 5-26, whatever final. It's going to be a shit show. 31-28.
Yeah.
And it could be them. It's going to be an absolute shit show.
I mean, they lose this game. I mean, you can't dodge the questions anymore.
No, that's why my gut says that something has to be done on Friday. You're not firing McDermott, clearly. No. But I think the move would be to fire Dorsey, which, again, what does that really solve? We've talked about this. Yeah. But then does Uncle Terry come in? You know, does Uncle Terry come in and sit down with McDermott and be like, the fuck are you doing?
He kind of has to, because McDermott's technically Bean's boss, I think. So Bean can't even.
Yeah, Bean can't even fire McDermott, from what I understand.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be.
It's like Shanahan and John Lynch.
Yep. Yeah. Which is fine. I'd rather have Bean anyway. Say what you will about Bean and what he's done and missed draft picks, whatever. You go with every fucking team. Every team misses draft picks.
Well, who's to say McDermott's not to blame for some of that either?
Exactly.
You really mean to tell me Brandon Bean hasn't wanted to get more offensive firepower in the first round for the quarterback that he drafted?
I'm 100% certain that he still wanted Travis Etienne, and he wanted
Breece Hall.
Najee Harris, Breece Hall. He was in on those guys. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. He wanted to add that weapon for Josh, and he finally got one with James Cook. But he was looking for that weapon.
I mean, this year they did get Kincaid. Yeah. But
that's a weapon. Yeah. That's an offensive weapon. You know, McDermott's.
That was one of the positives of this past game.
Yeah.
I know Belichick kind of tries to take away your main option with Diggs. And at times, I mean, he did.
Yeah.
So Josh took what he can get with Kincaid. And now with Knox out, that does at least open the window of opportunity to see what he can do as tight end one with no other.
And Quinn Morris is out too. So they're running 11 personnel.
Yeah.
So.
Which
they're better at anyways. Yes.
I mean, their best season, that breakout season in 2020, it was empty sets and 10 personnel, 11 personnel.
Yeah, exactly. They're the best at it. Stop running on second down. It's about as predictable as me having to take a shit in the morning. So, someone tweeted that out too. One of the Bills guys tweeted it out, that or it was Nate Geary, which, you know, I feel Nate Geary. But there's Nate Geary who tweeted out, you know, every second down, basically, second less than five or six or whatever it was. And every time they ran James Cook on the same fucking draw play.
Yeah.
It's so predictable. I know it's coming. And I'm not a I don't pretend to be this like analyst. I'm not an analyst. So, but for me to know, hey, it's second down, they're going to fucking run the ball. And they do. It's something's got to give, man. Dorsey's got to get creative, or McDermott's got to tell him to take the chains off. Or if I'm Josh, like, what? I can't hear you. Fuck it. Hike, bitch, touchdowns. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And I mean, Josh, buddy, you're kind of untouchable, dude. So do what you got to do.
Yeah. This isn't an anti-Josh thing. Like, this is, we need to save Josh.
No, yeah. But my point is, like, really, what consequences are there for him if he does all that?
He'll lose locker room if they try to punish him for anything.
Yeah.
That team.
Players will side with him. Fans will side with him.
That locker room believes in Josh Allen 1,000% when he's playing like Josh Allen. Not when he's playing like Ken Dorsey at Miami. Okay, I fucking said it. But, like, you know, I don't know. Fuck. We just need we lose this game. I don't know if we record anymore this season, honestly.
Well, what's after Tampa?
I don't know.
Is it Cincy?
Yeah, it might be Cincy.
I think it is Cincy.
Fucking A.
At Cincy. And you know, if they lose this game to Tampa and they're 4-4 and they go to Cincy, the whole thing is going to be the story about you know what.
Yeah, it is prime time against Cincy in Cincy.
Okay, so that's another distraction on top of the distractions.
Yeah, but the Bills will DeMar won't be active.
I know he won't be active, but mainstream media, that's all they're going to talk about.
It's fair. And then we got another prime time the week after. Mr. Unlimited comes to town.
Well,
so that should be. Well,
okay. If you struggle with that one, holy hell.
Well, then we have the Jets here. Then the Eagles. We go to Philly.
Rough.
Then we're by. Then we got the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Chargers, the Patriots, the Dolphins. Yeah, it's not good. I mean, it's.
No.
It's really not good. After Denver, it gets fucking shitty quick. You have to be a good football team. You have you have to figure it out. So
you lose this game, you could be under 500 in 2 weeks.
Yeah. In spiraling.
And then you're talking 5-5.
Yeah. And you probably aren't even a wild card if you win out.
But you're not winning out.
So.
Like, if you're 5-5 after Denver, you are not winning out.
They pretty much, I would play, if I'm McDermott, which I'm not because he sucks, but if I'm McDermott, I'm basically telling, going in that locker room being like, this is the fucking Super Bowl. Do not fucking lose it. That's how every game needs to be played.
Although, if I'm the players, I'm saying, all right, then don't lose it for us.
Yeah. This could get really ugly really fast. And I'm not even talking about fans overreacting. Internally, inside the locker room, inside the building, could get really ugly really fast.
Also, no matter what happens, even if they come out and beat Tampa tomorrow, I'm not going to say, oh, okay, it's fixed.
No.
Because this is clearly a week-to-week thing. Yeah. Because they were supposed to win 15 games after they beat the crap out of Miami. And then a flip duds. Just switched.
Duds. Fucking duds.
Yeah.
Fucking duds. They lose against Tampa. I might quit. I might retire. I might never be on the microphone again.
I mean, think about it, dude. They barely went 1-1 against the two worst offenses in the league.
Mm-hmm. And the Bucs get back Chase Edmonds.
Yep.
And they also have Chris Godwin.
Say what you will about
Mike Evans.
Say what you will about Baker, but he's better than Tyrod and Mac Jones. And Mike Evans is definitely the best receiver they've faced in the last 3 weeks, if not more, if not all season, really. I mean, well, Tyreek Hill, but
yeah.
But I mean, Mike Evans is no joke of a receiver, and I don't think anyone on this team can actually really cover him. No,
Benford's gonna have his work cut out. It's gonna be Benford.
Yeah,
but Benford can probably do okay. But we gotta get the Baker. You don't get the Baker, this game's over before it even starts. If you don't get the Baker,
yep.
You have. I don't. Did New England even fucking punt?
Yeah, they did.
I don't know.
They did. They did. I promise you, they did.
All right. Well, they barely fucking punted.
Here, I'll tell you. I know they at least twice. I want to say.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
I feel like we weren't stopping them at all. I could be wrong. I probably am wrong. I'm wrong most of the time.
Wait a sec. Punting. Yeah, two punts.
Okay. So you only made the worst offense in football punt twice.
And they did get a fumble at the end. Oh, remember yeah. That's when the Bills took the lead.
Did you notice that Bernard fumble recovery?
What about it?
That Dotson was the only guy to come over and like celebrate after?
I didn't even think about that.
It was really weird. Really weird. It was a key moment and they got a fumble recovery and Dotson was the only guy that came over. Really odd. It's like an odd thing going on.
No, they're not in it.
Yeah. It's really, really odd. We're not previewing Tampa, are we? Are we talking about the Bucs at all? We can. Baker's better than what we think. Mike Evans is good. Chris Godwin's going to cut you up. Chase Edmonds coming back is going to be a problem. And their defense is pretty good.
I mean, they're playing hard. I mean, Baker's playing for – I mean, this is kind of like his last – not last chance, but like –
it's running out of him.
If he ever wants to be like a highly paid quarterback, this is his last chance. I mean, he'll get other backup jobs if this doesn't work out, and he'll at least have a job for years to come, like in like a – you know, veteran minimum type of contract stuff. But I mean, he's playing for his life lately and they're playing for him. They believe in him.
Yeah, I agree. I think so too. I think this must win and Tampa can beat us. So this is the best opponent we've played in the past few weeks that can actually beat us.
Teams are also watching film of the last 2 weeks and going, well, if that team can do that, so can we.
All they got to do is fucking, I wouldn't even, at this point, I wouldn't even have blitzed to Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Like,
why bother?
Why bother? He's not going to run.
Nope.
He's running four times a game versus 8 last year, 7.1, whatever it was, 7.3.
Honestly, I was surprised when you told me that because I when you said it was like 4, I was like, is it even that?
Yeah. So you're gonna turn the guy who is probably third or fourth all time already. Running quarterback and not let him run. Fucking wild. I honestly can't believe Terry's not involved.
All right. I mean, piss away your franchise. Go ahead.
Like I said, if they lose this game, it's unraveling quick internally. I think you're going to see more of it bleed out.
I think it's like you kind of said, McDermott will lose the locker room.
I don't know. It's so tough.
Not to the point
because of his wins thing. I can't like fully say.
I don't think to the point where like, they refuse to play for him or like stuff like that, but just not believing in what he's coaching.
Yeah, not believing in what he's selling. And the second you, they stop believing in what he's selling and what he's spewing, it just is a slow decline.
Yeah.
Until it just doesn't work anymore. So
also, it's like I told you earlier. If on primetime fucking television, Baker Mayfield beats Josh Allen
at home.
Oh my God. We're never gonna hear the end of it.
At home. Be another loss at home, too. So I don't know what it is with Buffalo teams that can't play at home. Sabres can't fucking win at home. Only team that can win at home are the Bandits.
Yeah.
And go back to back.
Hope so. That's all we got.
That's all we fucking got. But yeah,
you want to do a score?
Sure. You can do a score. You can go first.
31-24 Bills. Come on, get it right.
Fuck, this is hard. My gut tells me that they don't fix the problem.
You picking a loss?
And it's 31-28 Tampa. My gut says.
See, I said a win because I know it has to be a win. That's why I said it.
Yeah, I don't think that. I think if we think McDermott has an ego, ego wins. And Josh is not Josh. He's not going to listen to the media. He doesn't give a fuck what they're saying.
Could you imagine if you told us in August, September that the Bucs game week 8 was going to be the defining game of the season?
Mm-hmm. And I'm deflated. Like, you've known me for a little bit of time now.
I've never heard these words.
And this is the first time in a long time. And I'm not a fucking bandwagon fan, trust me.
No, I know you're not.
But this is the first time in a long time. And it's not because of lack of talent or lack of – it's almost like I'm not believing in what's being spewed.
Yeah.
You know, how many times can Von Miller say we need to be punched in the mouth? Well, if I'm punched this many times in the mouth, I'm getting knocked the fuck out.
Yeah.
So, like, how many times can you say, we'll fix it? And then you've watched the same game for the last three weeks. You haven't fucking fixed it. You haven't done anything to fix it.
You also only have one more like gimme game this year, and it's Denver.
Yeah.
So, because you're fucked after that.
Yeah, I mean, you're lucky you're facing Denver after the trade deadline too, and they're probably gonna have nobody on that roster except Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
So, if you lose that game, then holy fuck, I'm gonna have a burning on live on air.
This is why shit. With the Giants game, when everyone's like, "Dub's a dub," no, it's not.
No,
it's not.
No, and a dub. I mean, I'm one of those guys that dubs a dub, and an ugly win is an ugly win. But like, ugly wins can happen, and that's fine. But when ugly wins happen, and you get ugly losses, that's like a pattern. That's a habit.
Well, don't be surprised.
Right? They say it takes 21 days to start a new diet or to do whatever you want to do. It's 21 days, right? Well, three of the games is
21 days.
21 days. That's a habit. Give or take, yeah. It's a habit. So if they lose this game, they better find themselves real deep in those 10 days off in between games and find their fucking identity again. If not, it's over. This box game would be the next game against Cincinnati would be the nail in the coffin. I'd be done with it.
If Cincinnati comes out and beats San Francisco this week, they're going to be buzzing next week.
They're going to
smell
Purdy's
blood.
Purdy's not playing. He's still in concussion protocol.
Yeah, I know.
The last time someone did that was Pickett. That was activated right at the last second.
Yeah.
So there's not a good chance that they're winning without Purdy. And if Debo's still out. And
Trent Williams.
Yeah. So they're, Cincinnati's probably going to win that game. They're going to come in hot and be ready for a game that let's call it what it is, man. That you said it, Hamlin, that is going to be the entire storyline of that game.
Yep.
It's DeMar Hamlin. They're probably going to fucking bring him on the field. He's going to wave.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be the whole focal point of that game.
No offense. It's fucking stupid, but yeah, they are.
It's going to be a focal point, and it's just going to be, no, they better be locked the fuck in. It's easy for me to say because I'm on my couch. I'm not a professional athlete, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I did play football. And that was when it was game time, you're locked the fuck in. If they come out flat and slow like they did the last couple weeks, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. I like I said, my gut of guts tells me we probably lose if they don't fix it.
Because who, like, let's say, I mean, I know we're going too far now, but like, okay, like we say, if they lose this week and season's fucked, whatever. Okay, you get to the end of this season. Obviously, you wouldn't be celebrating a Super Bowl win. Who starts to lose faith in the team and is like, all right, I'm going elsewhere, or all right, I'm retiring, or that kind of stuff, you know?
I think that it will take probably Josh or Diggs to go up to Terry. Reach out to Terry and tell him that, like, if this doesn't change, I'm out. Probably Diggs. So,
yeah.
If I were to guess, because Josh won't leave.
No.
If I were to guess, if anyone's going to, if you got to, you don't need Taron Johnson going in and saying, that ain't going to do anything. That's going to move the needle. And it's not disrespect to Taron Johnson. It's just the way it is. But I think if Diggs, you know, says something to Terry, hey, this isn't working, man. I want out of here.
What about Vaughn?
Vaughn probably, that would probably be a big voice too. They did hold a players only, supposedly a players only meeting this week.
That's never good for the coach.
No. No, they did hold one. So we'll see. Said my gut feeling tells me it's a loss. I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. Because you're not going to want to see me next week if they lose this fucking game. So I hope I'm wrong. But yeah, players only meeting is, yeah, never usually a good sign.
So yeah.
Supposedly Josh and Diggs orchestrated it. So that's for all the fucktards that are saying that they don't have leadership on this team too. So
yeah.
You're clearly wrong.
That's not the problem.
You're clearly wrong.
Well, I'm done. I got nothing else.
I'm done. I actually am now in a worse mood than I was before.
Yeah. This, so I just think last week when we did this, we were like a lot to not a lot Bills over Patriots.
Yeah. I'm about to go take some melatonin and pass the fuck out. I just don't want to think about it. If I'm watching that game around night and it's getting ugly, I'm gonna be. It's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
It's going
to
be a problem.
I don't know what we're going to have to say next week. I'm very anxious.
Yeah, because it's been some time since we've had a B. Rah, rah.
Which,
in helping people.
A little confession. We do enjoy it a little bit.
We do.
Having something to complain about.
We are a little bit of a little cynical.
Yeah.
But we try to be cautiously optimistic, I think, is the best way to describe us. And this is, we're not going to rah, rah, boo, whatever. But yeah, we need Josh Allen to be Josh Allen. The Bills need Josh Allen to be Josh Allen. That's why you drafted him. That's exactly why Bean drafted him.
Yep.
He knew what he had. He had an untamed fucking Bronco, and he knew it. Outsmarted everybody. Knew that there was raw ability and raw talent.
Yep.
Was never meant to be tamed. It's being tamed. So.
But you can only tame it from the inside.
Yeah. God, I hope Josh is Josh tomorrow. Go Bills. We're out of here, everyone. Make sure you subscribe, like us, follow us. Or don't. I mean, I don't know how much more we're going to be doing this. But, no, seriously, like, subscribe, all that stuff. And if we're at 7-1 Blitz, interact with us. We'll be glad to answer any questions, anything. You know, like I said, we're not super analysts out here, but we are pretty knowledgeable. And, yeah, go jump through some tables tomorrow night. Get fucked up. Do a shot out of a bowling ball.
And if they lose, make yourself heard.
And if they lose, definitely speak up. All right, guys. Go Bills. See you next week. And we're out.